Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
If you take a woman to a restaurant and she can't pick just one freaking thing off of an entire menu, what are you? Run! Run! Like, run right now! It's happening! I'll pay your tab! Just go! Just be like, oh, my shoes are on fire. Isn't that weird? And then set them on fire and run out the goddamn door! If she can't eat, she can't swallow. Do you understand?
Sarah Tiana on The Adam Carolla Show.
Sarah Tiana here. Stand-up special. Great stand-up special on Comedy Central. Came out about a week and a half ago, as we hear. But they'll run that shit out of it. You can find it. Also, Riggle's Picks with Rob Riggle. We love Rob. And the online show. Props with Sarah Tiana and Andrew Santino. And I said, who's Andrew Santino? And they said, he's your favorite guy from I'm Dying Up Here. So he's the bearded, redheaded guy.
He's
kind of the main guy. Love that guy. I love that show. I'm sorry it went away.
Yeah. I never saw it.
It was real good.
I was supposed to. As a Comedy Store brat, like, I know I'm supposed to, and it's on my list. I just haven't. Anyway, I'm really getting checkpoints for being a good comic.
I feel like we need to have some sort of buddy system.
Yes.
You know, the other day, Brian was talking about his buddy Derek, who works for TMZ. I said, that's my favorite guy. He said, I've never seen the show. Now we got this going again.
Yes.
I should hook up with Derek, or you should watch TMZ, or I should hook up with Andrew.
Yeah, we need an exchange program.
And by the way, I live with a lot of people. I mean, there are folks I know who could probably use a buddy for
Coach
a show they watch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think my parents might be fall under that heading.
I can go over to Kalen's house, hang with his dad. We can get a whole like thing.
Right. Yeah.
It's good.
You know, it's hard. I feel like just as a comic, it's hard for me to watch more comedy at the end of the day. Like, I'm just so sick.
The busman's
of you
holiday.
And your dumb jokes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just like at the end of the day, I just want to watch murder. So I usually just watch true crime at night. That's really all I watch.
Yeah.
Women,
we love it.
Yeah,
they love it. And it transcends sort of natural thought and just sort of a general, like, there are things you go, well, of course everyone likes this because this is yummy or this is nice, or people like puppies or people like flowers or people like leavened bread or something like that. But for women,
you know, the touchstones,
the
Gentiles.
It speaks to your loins.
It's puzzle solving. That's why it is. That's what it is. It's puzzle solving. We're trying to figure out who murdered somebody.
Yeah,
I don't think it's that.
You don't think so?
You don't know why you like it, Sarah.
Yes, and
I'll tell you why.
Tell me why I like it.
Oh Jesus!
It's first off, it's they do a puzzle solving part of it, but they always start off like in a sleepy, quiet neighborhood. You get to go.
Much like the one you're in.
I'm in a quiet neighborhood. And then they go, if it could happen here, it could happen anywhere. And then you go, I'm anywhere.
I live anywhere.
I'm anywhere. And then they start looking around. And the next thing you know, your body's going into fight or flight a little bit. Like, what? So this could have. Oh, she thought she knew him well.
Mm-hmm. I thought I knew my husband well.
Thought he was a gentleman.
I think I know my husband.
He was a scoutmaster and a certified pilot. And they're like, God, geez, you don't know people and you think you know them, do you?
You're saying I want to be a victim.
I'm saying it plays into all the thoughts of this. Something scary can happen to my family.
The manufactured
crazy,
terror.
Like it is this. It's this. We need it. I mean, we don't need it. We want it.
Oh, you're saying
we. It's like a button you have to keep pushing where you get a little.
It's our gun.
Weird nicotine shot or medicine or something. Mm-hmm. It's like it's this thing of like I need to feel. I'm not. I mean, it's in it. It's in us.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like murder is, with women, it's like so personal, but with men, it's like completely impersonal. That's why like mass murder is only done by men. I think that's also because women would never leave a mess for someone else to clean up, but that's just like my ridiculous theory.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is about true crime. I feel like it's like, I want to know who did it, and I bet it's the husband.
Yeah, it's right. Always the husband.
It's always
and
the
it's
husband.
Never the person before the first act break that they want you to think it is.
My favorite part of Law & Order is that they never answer the phone and it's not something related to the case. You ever notice whenever someone answers a phone on a crime show, it's because they got a tip.
Right.
We got a tip.
It's never like, be home for dinner.
Did you order a Grubhub?
So it's universal. It's universal. I don't think I've ever met a woman that is not into this.
Yeah. I think the only exception would be if we witnessed or somehow were a tertiary player in a murder, I wouldn't watch murder shows anymore. So I think you're onto something.
True.
In this sleepy little life, this safe, nerfy life we have, we want to see some crime.
Here's a way we could get to the truth.
Okay.
Mike August is interested in the truth.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting thought.
There's the truth and the truth.
Here's a quiz. I'll put it out to the people, our fans on Twitter and beyond. But I'm just feeling this out as we go. But I feel like I'm getting on to something here.
Okay.
Let's see if we can figure this one out, and we'll get the input of people here and beyond
and elsewhere.
And elsewhere. First, I'll tell you this half of the show brought to you by LifeLock.com. Enter Adam. Tommy John. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam. And Castrol Edge, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. Here's my. Here's how we're going to figure out how this works with the chick wiring. Are dudes, I know dudes who are wired like chicks.
Okay.
Usually can tell by the way they cross their legs. See the guys that they're like, dude, what about your ball sack? Like, why are you? It's so hard to do it that way. It's so much more comfortable just to put your ankle on top of your kneecap. And they're like, no. Like, Dr. Drew is wired like a chick, and he crosses.
Slides it up there.
Whoa, yeah. No, you can see the guys. Like, the guys are more sensitive. Like, the guys who are on NPR cross their legs more like that than the guys who do like hot sports takes on Fox, you know? Like, it's just, it's a different, look for the leg cross. Because women cross their legs that way. So look for the leg cross. Are guys that are more wired like chicks more interested in these stories than Jocko Willink? or just dude, you know, just your dudes, like
bros.
Yeah, like, because I don't like the guys, like the mechanic, like the gearhead guys and stuff like that. It doesn't come up. It's not a part. They're just dude on dude.
Right.
You know, Henry Rollins. Does he like this stuff? Because I feel like he's got no time for it. I wouldn't hear, but I'm trying to think. What do you guys think around here?
I know a fairly wide swath of dudes, from dudes who work at TMZ to dudes who are, you know, really into sport. None of the dudes I know are into this stuff. This feels like a complete chick domain.
But are the dudes that are more wired like chicks more into it?
Like, I feel like Joe Buck would be into it, right?
Yeah.
He definitely crosses his legs.
Yeah, he could be into it.
He could be a secret.
Dawson's not into it.
She's big north of the border.
It's Joe.
Dawson may not be into it.
I do like true crime.
You do like true crime. I have you as a dude wiring. Well, look, we all like
cross
it.
Cross your legs right
it's
now.
It's all
Let's
good,
look.
But I mean, do you seek it out? Do you watch the shows? Is it something like
Dateline?
Does it suck you in?
You're allowed to say yes.
I have a series record on Dateline.
Yes. Boom!
However, you got to get me in the first 10 minutes. It's got to be good. A lot of Dateline, they should really just call it Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, and I won't watch Lifetime.
The I Survived ones,
if it's
I don't watch
if it's a real good one. Yeah,
I don't want to know.
Spoiler alert, you survived.
I like it.
I don't like the I Survived.
But the actual murders seem to be very dude-heavy. The murders themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then the retelling is what the ladies like.
What about the ones where people are like put in horrible prisons?
I like those.
I feel like women are into those.
Those are awesome.
I don't know about
that. I get depressed.
Yeah, that depresses me.
The Midnight Express stuff depresses
the one from Mauritius is like the greatest episode I've ever seen. Those are where you're muling something back. You've never done it before. It was a one and done thing. And then you got put in a prison in Mauritius for 20 years.
The tram's leaving in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Exact same thing.
That's Locked Up Abroad, right?
Yes.
Yeah, those are good.
Good reenactments on that one.
Maybe the Mason-Dixon line is... Ooh, it's another one. I think women watch stuff and go, oh, my God, could you imagine if that happened to you or your kids? I don't know if guys have the could that, but maybe we could solve it this way. A percentage of guys who watch porn think that they're the guy that's in the porn.
Oh, yeah, POV
guy. They watch it as if, I don't have that. I have the I'm watching porn. Mm-hmm. I don't have the I'm in this chick. I wonder if the guys that are in... Also like more Dateline. Dawson, good. When you watch porn, are you in the porn or are you watching the porn?
No, I'm just a viewer.
All right.
Split it.
Going lazy on us, huh, Dawson? Just kind of sitting back watching people fuck?
It opens your world of porn.
Entertain me.
You know, if you got to be the guy, you can't.
Yeah, now it can't be interracial.
You're checking out all kinds of porn.
Right. Yeah, I think it has more to do with injustice. You know, like the prisons, you know, like it's like a little too harsh and real for me. With Dateline, I know they're going to solve the crime, like Law and Order, stuff like. So I'm like, yes, I want justice. And
satisfying ending.
Yeah, it feels satisfying at the end. Like I can fall asleep with Law and Order on because I know they're going to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about missing it.
Is all of that based on true stories, like Law and Order?
They say they are.
Yeah, they say them.
Yeah. That's part of the title card.
Could you enjoy it?
Like a good Murder, She Wrote and a good Heat of the Night.
She wrote used to be my favorite.
I think ladies like the whole swath.
You two are wired like chicks.
Doesn't
have that happen.
Doesn't Fonda Lair host a wrap-up show for one of these?
I hope I'm wired.
Did you know that?
Oh, I don't know.
For Sword and Scale?
Oh, yeah. I think there's something like that. I got too many podcasts. I walked in here last night at 11 o'clock at night. Dylan was doing a podcast.
I don't like that.
Really?
Yeah. I just did a thing where I walked by the door, showed him my head, and then I just left.
Oh, God.
Just to freak him out.
That was good.
But I have, were you freaked out?
You don't know what it's called?
Signed Dylan Wren.
That's right.
For on iTunes.
All right. Sarah, dates. How many dates? You're out doing Morongo Casino. You're doing that.
With Dennis Miller this Friday.
That's Friday night. Tomorrow night. Not tomorrow night. That's Friday.
A couple days away.
Huh? There will be tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Will be tomorrow. Yeah. What the hell day is it?
People hearing this on Thursday.
Oh, tomorrow night. Yeah, sorry. That's my fault. That's my fault. Yes, that's tomorrow night. Yes.
Yeah, and then next week I'll be in Vegas with Daniel Tosh at the Mirage. And then at the end of the month of November, I'll be in Edmonton at the House of Comedy Comic Strip.
Have you done shows with Dennis Miller before?
Yeah, I've done a few shows with him.
I like Dennis. I did a show with him once and I said, how about I'll do 30 minutes and... You do 30 minutes, and then we'll both come out and do like Q&A for 30 minutes or something. And he said, how about you do 25 minutes, and I do 25 minutes, and then we'll come out and do Q&A. And I said, okay. But I don't know if I even know the difference between doing 25 minutes and 30 minutes. I like where your head's at.
Yeah, sure.
Let's deliver less.
Yeah. Yes, they don't have the difference. The same.
As long as we're getting paid the same. Yeah. But now, are you opening? You do 20 minutes? What is an average opening?
Yeah, I do about 20, 25, and then he does the rest. He'll do an hour after me. Casinos are the best because it starts right on time and it ends right on time. You can do an hour. It's an hour and a half show exactly.
Do you get the casino bucks to eat with?
Yes, usually you get some sort of per diem put on your room or something.
They will let you walk around and they'll go like, you can spend $200 on food or beverages or whatever, but you can't go into the Godiva chocolate shop.
Yeah,
and you can't, it's kind of a weird thing.
A lot of restrictions.
Not the steakhouse.
Yeah, you can't go to the steakhouse.
But the employee cafeteria, go nuts.
Yeah.
Right, they do, and
the employee cafeteria is a sad pen.
Oh man, that's a tough.
That is a
in
tough.
There.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that.
And you can't really take the food out, so you gotta sit in there and eat it.
Well, the funniest is when they gave us the one, and I was like, "But we can eat at the TJ, which is my Chinese
PF Chang's.
Yeah, we can go to the PF Chang's." and we had like 300 or 500 bucks of like casino bucks. And I'm like, we got to do it all now. And then Mike August ordered a huge pile of pork fried rice. I was like, don't order the order some shrimp or something. We got to spend money or not fill ourselves up. And then somebody recognized me and sent over drinks to the table.
No!
And I was like, no, no.
Like Brewster's Million.
No, send them. I'm buying you a drink. And then they were like, we're leaving. I was like, oh, you can leave with a drink then. Take the drink back. And they're like, why can't you take our drink? And I'm like, because I got $500 to spend. I can't do it with your free drinks.
Yeah. It's a weird wiring. You can only use it at P.F. Chang's and like Cold Stone. You can't use it at any.
Right.
Like, yeah. I could really use it at the little store so I could take stuff up to my room, you know, get some Tylenol, whatever, for just being in that environment.
But it's fun. I think it's a little window into everyone's wiring because like Mike Lynch, who would travel with us, grew up around super cheap parents. Mm-hmm. And so it's like if we were meeting in the lobby at 5 a.m., to fly out of Philadelphia and we're in Atlantic City, he'd get down there at 4:30 because he still has $17 of casino bucks.
Yeah. Buy some coffee beans.
Yeah.
Like literally like that thing of like, goddamn you mom and dad for wiring this into me where.
You can't leave that on the table.
So many other people, I know, they just sleep. And then you'd go, how many casino bucks do you have? And they go, I don't know. Weird at P.F. Chang's. Like, no, Mike's got to get up. He's got to get down there. I'm also thinking the same way. Like, give those casino bucks to somebody. We can't take them with us.
That's exactly how I think.
Are you that
way? When you grow up poor, you're just like, well, this is all that I can have. And I only got like a dollar allowance. So I never, like once I finally got a job, I was constantly spending my money way too fast. But then also anytime I get something for free, like I would feel like I would be so skinny if people didn't give me stuff for free.
Oh my God.
But I feel compelled to
eat it. The food is insane.
Yes.
I also realized this scary, sad tableau, which is Sunday night, me, my wife and the kids were out. We're eating dinner. And we're trying to, like, Lynette was going, like, we got to come up with some allowance rules, like what they're doing, how much they get paid. They can't just go, give me money, I'm going to this, give me money. While we're ordering sushi, like $170 worth of sushi, we're trying to beat this out at the same table while everyone was eating,
we should really
California
set up some boundaries.
Rolls and spicy tuna rolls. And I was like, it's so insane. Can you imagine you and your parents out eating sushi for $150
never.
Working out the allowance?
It literally never happened.
Never
once.
Undoable.
You know what my parents did is they told my sister and I, they said, we'll buy you anything you want as long as you pay half. So if you pay half, we will pay the other half of whatever you want. But you have to save the money yourself, which was very difficult on a dollar a week.
4 years later, do you still want a rainbow bright?
My sister was like, we're going to save up for a trampoline. And I was like, hell yeah. And then like a month later, she's like, I have $4. And I was like, they stopped making trampolines. I told her that they stopped making trampolines.
What were your chores?
Oh, I had to vacuum and dust the house.
Where'd you grow up?
In Calhoun, Georgia. We have a Nike outlet.
You might know it.
It's on the city flag.
You've seen it. It's between Atlanta and Chattanooga. Real small town.
Who were you watching growing up where you're like, I can do stand-up?
No, but I never saw stand-up until college. And I saw Mitch Hedberg. That was the first person I ever saw. And people were like, is that when you just started to do stand-up? And I was like, you don't see Mitch Hedberg and go, oh, I can do that. Like, right. I didn't think about it for another 5 years. And then I got dared to do it. And then I just started. I watch it still sometimes, but I never watched a lot of it. I thought you had to have a sitcom and then you could do stand-up.
Oh,
I didn't understand how it worked. I wasn't a huge comedy fan.
What? Mitch shall be missed. I don't say that about all the comedians, but
one of
Mitch
the best
Hedberg.
Jokes ever. Whenever someone hands me a flyer, I feel like it's their way of saying, hey, you throw this away. That's my favorite Mitch Hedberg joke.
I love all that. I just love that guy's jokes. I don't know. It's weird. Like, I don't know if you're attracted to like vibe or tempo. I mean, the jokes are there. The jokes are always funny, but I always just vibed with that guy. Just always thought he was so funny.
So funny.
God, he's been gone for 10 years now. It's been a while.
Crazy to think about.
All right. Let me tell you about LifeLock. For over 3 years, a software vulnerability in Google Plus social media network gave third-party developers potential access to almost 500,000 users' data. You don't want that. With your personal info out there and your data exposed, criminals can open accounts, file tax returns, buy property. There's so many threats in today's connected world. It just takes one weak link for people to get in, and once they get in, they steal your identity. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security, help protect against threats to your identity and devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It's almost 2019, people. Let's take care of business. Let's get some LifeLock and protect our identity. Right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That's promo code Adam. Terms apply.
All right, let's take a quickie break. We'll come back with the news and Sarah and us right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, the Boston Globe reports that within hours of his arrival at a federal prison in West Virginia Tuesday, gangster James Whitey Bulger was beaten to death by inmates. Two inmates were under investigation in the attack. 51-year-old Fodios Freddie Gase, who was a mafia hitman serving a life sentence for the 2003 slaying.
Oh, all right, a couple things. What goes on with our news where it's like, I'm hanging around with Mike August, and he's like, oh, Whitey Bulger dies at 89. And I'm like, yeah, was he killed or did he die? They don't know. Like, I feel like beaten to death by prisoners. Why does it take like 2.5 news cycles for us? I heard on the radio, it's like, Whitey Bulger dies at 89 in prison. They're looking into it. Like,
having your eyes gouged out isn't natural causes anymore?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Well, that's it's pretty gruesome. You'll love
a mop handle in your rectum. Like, it probably wasn't natural causes. That's how grandpa died. Like, why does it take a while?
Because I guess they're waiting for someone to confirm it. Who knows?
She cracked skulls and blood everywhere. Like, hey, you didn't
do the math.
Yeah. Yes.
So this guy that is being accused of at least being one of two people that carried this out, he was a hitman serving a life sentence for the 2003 slaying of the leader of the Genovese crime family, according to several people.
When they take them to the prisons with the former mafiosa guys, aren't they basically serving them up?
Yeah. It feels like
I think they wanted to get a free cell out of it. They're like, well, it's overcrowded, so let's just put them in this prison.
Well, but remember, Whitey Bulger had a long history as an FBI informant.
Right.
And even if you're 89, that stink doesn't go away. So they think that might have
the combined age here is 140 something.
Oh yeah, we might have a new year in the clubhouse.
No, 89 plus
50.
No,
it's
basically
almost one. It's 188.
51 plus 89.
Oh, 51. Sorry. Yeah. I was looking at 89 and 89. Yeah. Sorry. I wrote down 89 and 89 because I had this weird, morbid, sad thought, which is he was killed a short period of time, a few days after the 89-year-old woman at the synagogue was killed.
She was 97. Well, that's how there are many people killed.
Right. Yeah. I thought there's 97. Yeah. There's an 89. There's an old person there. And I thought, like, no one deserved it less and no one deserved it more. And that was all my weird.
Wow.
I guess I'm an atheist. That's how I think, you know.
Well, it was about 2 hours later that they found him after the beating. They found him at, I don't know, I think it was about 8 a.m. with his eyes nearly gouged out, according to sources. So apparently, again, we could get another news cycle clarifying this, and this could be wrong, but they said it might have happened around 6 a.m., and he was just sort of laying there to die for about 2 hours before he was discovered.
I talked to Mark Garagus about, you know, it's funny. You got to be careful because you're like, I'm like, Mark, the worst human being in the world is the mom of one of the North Hollywood bank robbers who was running some sort of shack where she imprisoned elderly people and hammered their social security checks. And oh, by the way, her son was the guy who put on the flak jacket and the body armor and put 1,300 rounds into the community. I grew up in North Hollywood. I remember the story very clearly. And I was like, that sea hag is the worst person on the planet. Like, we all know people have kicked dogs or even murdered people, but that was her son. Meanwhile, she's imprisoning sort of the elderly and hammering their social security checks. And then she sues the city of Los Angeles for wrongful death. For negligent death of her son, who eventually got shot and bled out, but we didn't do enough for him to survive. And I said, that is the worst person in the world. And Garriga said, yeah, I represented her.
Oh, no.
Be careful around Garrigus when you think this is the worst, second only to Scott Peterson. Watch out when you're talking about Michael Jackson or Scott Peterson.
Chris Brown?
Watch out.
There might be a connection.
There's a very good chance.
Did he at least agree with you that she was horrible?
Brian, come on.
Well, he
gets a job to do.
Wasn't she Armenian?
Oh, maybe. No, they were like. Well, you can look it up. They were from
somewhere.
No, it was part of the problem, but obviously they're
decent. Garrigus is a proud Armenian, so it makes sense that they ran and similar. If she found his way to him.
They knew each other.
If she found his way to him.
She was like.
They all don't know each other,
Brian. They were from some stan. I don't know. I think they're both from like crazy stan or something.
Douchebagistan?
Yes, like one of the outside of the Baltic something, former Soviet, right. Whatever. But we can find out.
Kyrgyzstan.
Either way, he represents her.
Wow.
Now here's the case. The case is her son bleeds out in one of the back streets in North Hollywood after he gets shot by a cop. Your job as the cop at that point is not to decide guilt or innocence. It's to get them into an ambulance and cart it off.
Right.
Whatever. Who? I don't care if it's a special needs kid who just got hit on a bicycle or the world's worst person. Either way, they're bleeding.
Pittsburgh shooter had to go to the hospital.
You're a cop. Mm-hmm. Your thing is bring in the ambulance. They said they thought there was a third gunman, and so they didn't want the ambulance to come into the perimeter. But there's like helicopter footage of the cops like smoking and laughing and talking while the guy was bleeding out. Mm. So they didn't prepare. They weren't tactical, whatever, DEFCON 5. They were hanging out, which didn't have the appearance of a third guy running around. So
Mark can look at the facts and
Romania. So says Max Pata. So,
all's forgiven.
All's forgiven. So, that's kind of the case. And the case with Whitey is, okay, he's the worst guy in the world, but you guys did put him in with guys who would kill him, and then you let him bleed out. Like,
for 2 hours.
Does Whitey, can they bring a wrongful death suit against the state of whatever and the blah, blah, and the blah, blah?
Very good question.
I'll get Garrigus on the blower.
Where is it? West Virginia?
Yeah.
Nah, they don't care. West Virginia, Sarah knows. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
anyway, we don't like. I know it's a weird thing where we go like a lot of people they're pro and against death penalty, but you could be against the death penalty, but when horrible things happen to horrible people, do we care? Like we're all sort of satisfied. Like good, he's dead. He's a bad person. He killed a lot of people. No, he got killed. Like
right.
You live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Right.
Okay.
Isn't that why Dexter was popular?
Oh, Dexter was great.
Right?
Did you love Dexter?
Mm-hmm.
With
chicks. So good.
And Dr. Drew. All guys who folded their whole thigh on top of the other thigh. Well, I think guys are just trying to annoy me when they do like talk shows and they do that move. It bothers me.
Does it make them seem more secure with their masculinity? Like, is it kind of hot in that way? Well, not for you.
It's an argument. Yeah, but the torsion of the nutsack is not, it's hard. When you have a dick and balls, it's really uncomfortable.
It's not attractive to me.
Why would balls, I'm crossing my leg right now to figure this out. Why would balls be a player here? Because aren't they below?
Yeah, you'd be sitting on them, though.
Yeah, you go full Belvedere.
You got to tuck the balls up.
Oh, you do? Okay.
As I've been told.
You're sure?
But people do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, here's the thing about the ball sack. There, any kind of unnecessary danger is one danger too many. You see what I'm saying? Like, even if there's the outside chance of some nut sack trauma,
why risk it?
Why I get it. By the way, just back to the prison stuff for a second. I went on this website because I was obsessed. And Sarah, this might be something you'd be interested in as well. With last meals of death row inmates,
it's a documentary about it.
I think a whole documentary.
Brian has talked about it.
Oh, I don't.
What's it called? I got so excited.
I blocked it out.
It's about the chef or the guy who does the cooking.
Okay. Well, I just went down this rabbit hole of this website. Most popular item that I noticed, and I don't know if they want this kind of publicity because this is most popular with the death row inmates, but it seemed like fried chicken was really shot to the top of the leaderboard.
It's a cultural thing. Come on,
it was all culture.
Let's not
Gina.
Be.
Okay. Oh my
God. All right. Next story.
And chitlins.
Just fried chicken.
Cut this out.
And purple drink.
This is uncomfortable.
Show us sponsors. Okay.
I love fried chicken.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
How dare you?
This documentary is called The Last Supper.
Oh my God. I got to write that down. All right. Well, Kanye West is changing his tune right now when it comes to politics. On Tuesday, he tweeted, quote, "My eyes are now wide open and now realize I've been used to spread messages I don't believe in. I'm distancing myself from politics and completely focusing on being creative." That's been retweeted 60,000 times. Now it's 300,000 times.
We can see him jump into a giant can of Krylon spray paint and butcher songs now. Is that his thing? Like, what's the thing where he's crawling into giant bottles and stuff and not...
That's probably a Gary question.
Not singing. All right. Yeah. I'm done with him and his creative process.
Here's the story behind that tweet. Kanye felt betrayed by the so-called Blexit campaign. Have you heard of this? So Brexit, obviously the British exit. This is supposed to be the black exit from the Democratic Party. This is led by a woman named Candace Owens. And she co-opted Kanye, calling the rapper my dear friend and fellow superhero. Kanye explained in a tweet, quote, "I introduced Candace to the person who made the Blexit logo. They didn't want their name on it, so she used mine. I never wanted any association with Blexit. I have nothing to do with it."
Blexit.
In fact, Kanye claims
this is Blackgate, Brian.
I really. Oh, stop it! Don't do that.
He loves gate. It's like on steroids and crack.
It's like a crack.
Yeah.
Kanye claims he supports a lot of causes that Owens fundamentally disagrees with, like common sense gun laws and having compassion for people seeking asylum.
It's unfair when you're making an argument to put common sense in front of your idea because it makes everyone else.
The more you raise your voice,
good horse sense.
Yeah, you just go common sense, and then you say whatever you want to say, and then everyone goes, "Who could?"
I guess it's common sense.
You've tainted it by saying common sense. Yeah. There's Blexit.
Yeah, the Blexit logo.
Did not know it.
So that's a thing.
Why are they kind of doing the hands up, don't shoot thing on the X, though? Or is there Malcolm X?
No, he's doing a snow angel.
Oh, he's doing a snow angel. Yeah. Is that what it is? Yeah. All right, after being shot
is
by a cop
a
in the snow?
In the middle of the E?
God, I hope not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand it.
I don't get it either.
I think it's dumb.
All right.
Well, ask Kanye about it. He loves talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he likes talking about everything.
Yep. So the Satanic Temple is not a fan of the new Netflix series, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is getting a lot of buzz right now. The temple's co-founder, Lucian Graves, maybe not his God-given name, says his group will be taking legal action against Netflix for appropriating its copyrighted monument design of Baphomet.
You know, you're talking about Harold Wilhoit?
Yeah, the very same.
These guys with their fucking here's the deal. Can we just start an island of people that are angry at their parents? I'll be the mayor. We'll just move there. We'll stop imposing all this nuttiness on everybody. Like the folks, like he's into, like, you're not into Satan. You hate your fucking stepdad or whatever it is. You're not into this. You hate that.
Yeah, you're rebelling against something.
You're pushing against something. Yes.
If you believe in Satan, you believe in God, right?
I guess.
The existence of, at least.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So for those of you, the very, very, very few of you who aren't familiar with Baphomet, that's Baphomet.
Oh.
He's a deity that the Christian military, Baphomet, were falsely accused of worshiping after the Crusades. It was then incorporated into the occult and mystical tradition and apparently shows up in a few parts of Sabrina.
Can I say this? How many movies have been themed around, you know, the devil and Satan and everything else? How many movies and books and literature and art and just everything?
Dragnet.
Everything.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first time I ever saw that kind of
stuff. Dragnet, the movie.
The movie, yeah.
Dan Aykroyd.
That's right, and Tom Hanks.
Yep.
And then how much of it have we actually experienced in real life? Who's had brushes with Satan? Who would chalk up this to a satanic something? I mean, yeah, planes crash and kids die and bad shit happens. But How much of it would you go, I can draw a direct line between linear. That airliner coming down and Beelzebub himself?
Rare. Like Lane Kiffin coached USC football for like 2.5 years.
But, right. I mean, but that was a personal tragedy and a satanic.
A personal experience with
you Satan, had. Personal you had. But with, yeah. for the rest of us, not so much. I'm saying at some point, maybe we move on. You know what I mean? Like, let's just say, let's take the concept of frozen yogurt.
Oh, often compared to Satan. Often.
And let's just say we've been talking about frozen yogurt for 2,000 years, but no one had ever tasted it or seen it or been into a TG, let's see, the TBI.
The country's best
TCBY.
TCBY.
Yeah, never had. Would we still be talking about it 2,000 years later?
It
I just feel
make
like
sense
we'd move on.
Yeah.
So since this thing doesn't exist and no one's ever really seen it and no one really had an experience with it unless you're from Louisiana and nutty and then it's just like, oh, there's a cold draft. Like the house is 250 years old and one part of it was colder than the other.
What?
Yeah.
I heard a creak.
Yeah, the cold air or the stupid thing where it's like, well, we buried my grandfather and then later on, 2 weeks later, I open the closet door in the entry hall, and the hat he wore as a merchant marine fell down off of the, you know,
chilling.
It's like, okay, that stuff aside.
Speaking of things that chicks are into and dudes have no time for, there was a great 18 to 24 month period where ghost hunter shows were big. Like, mm-hmm. ghost hunters were everywhere. And these guys would go and they'd like record, you know, with their ambient sound.
Yep.
And they'd get back and they analyze the waveform, like, you know, the ups and downs of the recording. And every time without fail, they'd be listening and they'd hear like, and they go, oh! Please find a clip of these guys running around the room like a touchdown has just been scored.
I hope this is satisfying for you, Brian. I don't know if I'm speaking for Sarah. Not into those shows. Never have been.
Nah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And remember Sacha Baron Cohen a few weeks ago had that pedophile wand?
Yes.
More technology in the ghost-finding device than the actual pedophile wand, which just made a noise when you put it by
They'd hear a breeze and just like go nuts.
Yeah, hold on.
I think the Comedy Store is haunted, though. I will say that. It's definitely haunted. Because it's happened to me before. I got haunted there one time.
What happened?
You're rural. Yeah, you're from Georgia.
Shecky Green started telling
jokes? I was in the belly room and like washing my hands in the bathroom and the paper towel holder. It's the one with the triangles come out of the mm-hmm. bottom or the rectangles. And it flipped all the way open, like smacked down. And then they all flew out at me instead of just falling. And I was like, all right, well, I'll see you later. Like,
is this
clearly
real?
I don't want it. Yeah. Yes. No, I wouldn't say that on your show. I'd get killed.
Do you think that was like the ghost of Sam Kinison or something?
No, I think it's from all the mafia hits that happened there.
All right. What? So you're down with the go. All right. Well, now we've made our ghost point. I'm glad I didn't include that in my Satan check.
The mafia and the Comedy Store. This is the greatest story.
Well,
ever told.
The Comedy Store used to be called Ciro's back in the 40s, and you know, L.A. Confident. That the whole mm-hmm. L.A. mafia ran it, and they used to murder people there all the time. And there's a bunch of people buried in the back, and so many guys that have worked the door. Like the haunted Hollywood tours come through there all the time. Yeah.
Shouldn't morgues and graveyards have more
but those
ghosts?
Are peacefully dead people.
They didn't pass violently.
It's like why they say Savannah is super haunted because when Sherman saved Savannah or, you know, burned Atlanta but saved Savannah, all the Union soldiers moved the headstones around and it was also a port city so they would just throw their dead overboard. So it's like it's more misplaced souls.
I didn't know this was science-based. So the rule seems to be if I die just of natural causes in my 80s, no problemo. Yeah. But if my wife takes my life in my sleep, I have to come back to La Cañada, Flint Ridge and look for something.
Yeah, because you can't be at rest.
I cannot be at rest. I would argue being dead is the ultimate at rest. I feel like...
Well, we'll see.
Oh, it's the best
nap. I don't feel like I'm going to be dead going, God damn, this pillow's so hot. To keep turning it over and fluffing it up. Oh, the fucking leaf blowers. Jesus, goddamn Christ. They have to go so early on a Sunday.
Shh, I can hear Adam complaining. Listen closely.
He's not at rest. All right.
Okay. Well, this is bizarre. You know, we've been hearing about all these packages and bombs and weird stuff being delivered everywhere. Downtown Charlotte, North Carolina is returning to normal after a suspicious package was discovered. But the circumstances were different at this one. It wasn't sent to a political leader, an activist, or a news channel. Instead, authorities say the package addressed to the South Tyrone Street headquarters of Duke Energy Corporation contained a cassette tape of Journey. Just sitting there. Authorities have not yet said whether this package was similar in appearance to the pipe bomb parcels mailed to everybody in the last couple of weeks. Barack Obama, Robert De Niro, CNN. But this was a suspicious package left at Duke Energy Corp, and it contained a single Journey cassette.
Wait, it was sealed? Like the package was sealed?
I'm sure more information will come rolling out. But
every package is now suspicious in my world.
It said a weird
if
word.
You cross your legs.
Amazon.
That's
on
right.
It.
Yeah, you know, on a happy note. I haven't heard that Don't Stop Believing fucking song in like 4 months.
Maybe
like,
there's a
my,
God.
This is my longest run. That song was a hit in 1987. It went away for 25 years. And then it came back, and it came back with
strong
a fucking
hard.
Vengeance
Thanks
and air karaoke and everything. Everyone got back with that song, and it is completely fucked out. Yeah, you're right. Maybe there's a God. It's been 4 months since I've heard that song.
You and Lucian Graves should talk.
Lucian. Also, like, as a parent, like, if your kids, like, I got a son and a daughter. If the boy goes Satan and the chick goes Wiccan, I'm just going to fucking find something sharp and fall on it. I'm going to like, you did a horrible job. Whatever. And by the way, remember when Wiccans were hot?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
made movies
well,
and stuff.
Not hot.
They never
popular,
were hot. They're always fat.
In the zeitgeist. Wiccans are supposed to be like earth-based, not Satan-based.
I've interviewed Wiccans, and I've really figured out it's just about recycling. Like, if you distill everything they believe in, it just comes to a blue bin that goes out on the curb.
Then you're Wiccan.
I guess I'm Wiccan.
Do you remember your acronym for Wiccan?
No, what was
this
it?
This is back in, this is probably pre Folkskinder Brian. That's when I was listening to Love Line back in like high school or whatever. White, isolated, chubby chicks and nature.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Paul Bryan.
Wow.
I'm so glad I had an acronym for Wiccan. Yeah, they seem to be exclusively white and heavy set.
Isolated.
They're Renaissance fair going.
A lot of crushed velvet.
Folk.
Not a lot that looked like Gloria from Modern Family. That's that was an observation. All right, let me tell you about Tommy John. Fall's here. You may switch that wardrobe. Let's not neglect the underpants. Upgrade to the new fall colors and prints from Tommy John. I'm wearing mine right now. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn. No wedgie guarantee. Comfortable stay-put waistbands. Luxurious, soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable fabrics. No bunching and no riding up. Just the best, Tommy John. They have a deal, which is if you don't love them, they'll give you a free refund with a thing called the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. But I will call you a liar. I will just say, if you wear Tommy John underpants and then you go, meh, I'm sending them back, you are a liar, good sir. That's right. My seconds will be calling upon you. Now includes women underwear, now fully back in stock, Tommy John. No adjustment needed, right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. Only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
All right. One and a half more.
Okay. I have one and a half more. So Twitter may be saying goodbye to the like button, according to USA Today. Oh. The social network has been looking at getting rid of the heart-shaped button as a way to improve debate on the platform. That's according to Jack Dorsey.
Like,
well, remember, it used to be the favorite button, which was a little star.
Of all the problems with Twitter,
yeah,
this is what they're getting rid of?
He's going to laser focus onto this because we used to have the favorite thing song for you, and then we changed it to the
tweets he likes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I hit them, and then we gather them up, and then we come talk about them.
Now, Twitter didn't offer a definitive statement on the future of the feature, which replaced the stars we talked about. The company said on its communications team Twitter feed, quote, as we've been saying for a while, we are rethinking everything about the service to ensure we are incentivizing healthy conversation that include the like button. We are in the early stages of the work and have no plans to share right now. So instead of just an acknowledge button, instead of a I like this button.
How about delete the neo-Nazis first and then we'll get to the like button.
I don't feel like there's ever healthy conversation on Twitter.
It's rare.
I think people are like, well, you know, that people get on their pedestals no matter what side you're on. But I'm like, you're just talking to people who agree with you already. I don't understand what you're trying to. You're not changing.
Well, or the other way. Yeah. It's never healthy. Unless you read James Wood's stuff, then that's
he engenders, you know, healthy debate.
God, somebody gave me one of his this morning. What was one? Anyone can look at. There's a new one that was good.
Take a crack at that one.
He'll be in here later.
Recording. Oh, he will?
Fantasy BS.
Yeah, his mom's worried about his future reading James Wood's tweets. But I'm so in love with that idea.
It's so good.
I don't care. I'll get a new son. We'll work this out.
If that's her main concern.
Like he's going to be employable?
Yeah. Far from
it. You know, what's his job? Selling dad's Paul Newman car collection basically is going to be his gig.
He would have wanted it that way.
His tweet history is going to be the least of your worries.
Yeah. The least. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you guys familiar? Oh, there it is. Should we say it or should we wait?
Yeah, let's hear it.
James Wood says, "Try having the balls to call me a drunk as a direct statement of fact, you little coward. I'll sue you for libel and win, you worthless piece of shit. If you don't have the courage to do so, then shut your cock holster of a mouth."
That's
yeah,
not
Dad.
Funny. I bet the guy's talking to cross his legs fully.
Yeah.
That's homophobic.
Cockholster. Who's writing that too?
Now,
Sonny Corolla.
I don't know. But do you think this would make a difference between a heart and it just a knowledge thing on there, or like a star and a heart? I don't feel like that's going to shut that down or prevent that.
I think that's what Facebook tried to do, because someone would say, like, my mom passed away, and then it was just like 300 likes, which just looked bad.
So, but here's the deal. Like, here's how everything works as a society. If you open a sort of porthole, like if you go, hey, I can talk into the soup can and there'll be someone on the end of it, play nice, boys, it'll quickly devolve into everyone screaming at each other, right? And so there's two constants. That and any new technology finds an application in porn. Like, we'll take whatever it is and immediately just hijack it in the name of jacking high.
Yeah.
So
well done, sir.
So, like, all roads lead to porn, and all roads lead into dudes screaming at each other, and women
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, and those dovetail together, too, with the
yeah,
porn.
This notion of, like, where I'm going to create this thing, we can weaponize anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's our superpower.
That's our superpower, and, Nobel came up with gunpowder, and he probably used, like, well, I'll revolutionize the mining industry, and it's like, next thing you know, we're fucking dropping bombs on each other. That's just how...
Right.
That's how we roll, right? Okay. So just know it and then come to grips with it. And
adjust
then
accordingly.
Adjust accordingly, yeah. But you're not going to, like, Nobel wasn't like, I got a peace prize named after me. And we can't be, no. As soon as we realize we can blow shit up with this, then we start blowing people up with it.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's going to be weaponized no matter what they change the button to.
We can either weaponize.
Sarah, don't be so jaded.
I'm just.
Well, weaponize or pornize or weapon pornize anything, because that's kind of how that's what guys says. They're like, that's their default setting is how do we get
you guys
to
are the
that?
Best.
Yeah,
I know.
You guys are A to B. Yeah, that's just one direction.
All right. Sorry.
Oh, well, you guys are familiar with the WeWork buildings, right? They have them in L.A. Yeah, there's huge ones in New York.
I don't know what they are.
Shared office space.
Yeah. You can, carve out an office or a desk and have your meetings there.
You have a home business.
Sorry. WeWork. Yes. You meet there, the space.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
it's pretty cool. But some very, very sad news for WeWork. They're starting to curb the beer consumption of some of its New York City members. Now, the co-working community is Mecca.
Hold on. There's a third mode we have, which is how can we catch a buzz?
Yes.
Like, we will figure out how to catch a buzz. Yeah. We'll figure out how to yell at somebody.
And
we'll
how to have sex with something.
How to have sex with something. Those are kind of our things.
We're awesome. Mm-hmm. So I guess at WeWork, part of the incentive to have a space there is that if you have a key card, you get free beer all day. Just for being there, which is great. However, now they're saying they're going to start limiting people to 4 glasses of beer per day.
Finish your sentence.
It's only going to be available between noon and 8 p.m. So you can't get your breakfast buzz on anymore.
What's
the cost? Because it says $50 for the day. If you drink all day, you're doing really well for what you're paying for drinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Like, look, I'm a guy.
Like, you're going to go to a bar and drink all day. It's going to cost you $200.
Just get an office space.
Yeah.
I like booze where you don't need booze. Like, don't get me wrong. I love that there's booze all over the airport, and I love that there's booze all over the ballpark, and I love it when there's some booze somewhere that you didn't think there was going to be booze. And
like your office?
Oh, yeah, we got booze. Like when you go on the giant wheel in Vegas, wheel, and you go in, and you're like,
the high roller.
Yeah. A bar inside this bad boy. Yeah, oh, right. Like, I love finding booze places booze doesn't need to be, but the office table. Even I go, well, why do you need booze there?
You're missing what the real life hack here, which is I've got whatever it is. Let's say $60. I got $60. I can go to the bar and get drunk all day for $180, or I can spend $60 and have beer all day. It's like I was talking to a friend yesterday. He was like, oh, I know
someone's life hack.
I know. Yeah, well, think it's smart.
No, I like it.
I know someone's who's having their 4-year-old birthday party that they were going to go to the public park, but like the water park. You know what I mean? Like, $150 to rent whatever and have a sort of a shared experience. It's like, no, they decided to like get a really good Airbnb with a sweet pool for like whatever it was, $120. Like, that's genius.
Not saying that that has anything to do with it, Brian. They're not saying it's because people are drinking the profits. They're saying it's because of all the inappropriate office behavior in the environment right now. And it's so all the tech companies are under a spotlight, and we don't want people getting drunk and harassing their fellow
office
mates.
Stop putting your balls on our coffee machine. Drinking too much beer.
Yeah, we kind of knew how this was going to go, didn't we? I like the notion of booze, but I just don't. I feel like if I was at the meeting when we were setting this one up, and someone's like, "And where are we going to put the beer tap?" I'd be like, "It's
Hold
an
on
office.
A second.
It's just an office meeting.
It's
day.
Quiet. There's different people doing different things."
Yeah, I get the coffee maker and all that stuff. I just feel like. That's a weird one.
Well, this is going to be in trial for 30 to 90 days. So they could go back to limitless beer, but we won't know for at least a month.
All right. I agree with Brian's life hack.
Yeah, life hack.
Life hack.
All right. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. There's a crankcase life hack for you. Get yourself some Castrol Edge, man. You don't want that friction. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times, fool! Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the performance in your car's engine. All right, one more quickie.
All right, let's see what we got here. Oh, for all of you gem enthusiasts, the world's largest producer of green stones has unearthed a 5,655 carat emerald crystal at its mines in Zambia. Look at the size of that thing.
Wow.
All right. It is beautiful green.
My birthstone.
And it is the size of... I'm trying to think.
A slice of lasagna.
A nice slice of lasagna. Yeah. I was walking through the Venetian yesterday with Mike August, passing all the jewelry stores going, how does it work? Like, how would you ever have the balls to walk in there and buy a tennis bracelet for $750,000? Yeah. Like, how does this work? How would you know? Like, I don't even know what this is. Like,
I want some jewelry, but I want a 70% markup.
Right. Like, I completely... See, when you buy a $300,000 car, you can see that $300,000 car. When you ever climb into a Bentley or a Rolls Royce, you shut the door. It's like boom, like oh, that's solid. You look at the burl walnut on the dash. Like, okay, you know where you are. And if you see a Honda Civic or a Camry or something, you go, all right, that doesn't look like the same. I can't see it. I'd be too scared. Is it all dudes trying to get laid? Like as far as the casino.
Yes.
Goes.
Yes.
It's got to be all some pussy play,
yes,
right?
Because
it can't be like, I know good jewelry and I demand a bargain.
Because you would go downtown to the jewelry district in L.A. You wouldn't fly your lady to a shopping experience in Vegas unless you're trying to get some. And deservedly so.
It's just after that day.
This goes a long way, I would imagine.
And okay, so this piece weighs almost 2.5 pounds. It was found at the Gemfield Mines. It'll be cut into smaller pieces and auctioned in Singapore in November, which it's kind of sad. I mean, that's a pretty cool piece on its own.
Whatever kid found that is not getting his arm chopped off.
And then some old lady's going to throw it in the ocean at the end of the...
Right?
Yeah,
big
that's
splash.
What it looks like.
Hey, bitch, it's been dead for 50 years.
Emeralds are rare and more valuable than diamonds, driving their demand up in the market. And most of the world's emeralds are mined in Zambia, Colombia, and Brazil. And that is a healthy chunk.
I'm not a jewelry person. No. I've never been a jewelry person.
Neither.
The only jewelry I have, like my boyfriend, but I would never buy it. I have no idea what it, I have no care for it. Do you buy your wife jewelry, Adam?
Not really.
Yes, that answered that.
Well, the
you're
jewelry...
not like Kobe. It's not like apologizing jewelry.
Oh,
right?
God. She'd be dripping in diamonds.
The jewelry has, you know.
And now I yell at you about the keys.
It has no inherent value, right? Mm-hmm. I mean.
Well, doesn't it hold its value?
Well, I guess it can. And we'd have to get Mark Garagus in here, who seems to. Like literally travels with a jeweler's loop.
Is that because he's Armenian?
Yeah, probably.
How dare you?
I mean, he just you have a jewelry
diamond grubbing Armenian.
He is like
emerald.
He's like accepted jewelry as payment and stuff like that.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
Well, let's really picture the world he lives in.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
I got a cock ring. Can you file my taxes?
He gave me this cool Wonder Woman necklace.
What, oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Nothing. Because I'm the only girl here. So he said, like, you're the Wonder Woman.
It's like the Godfather. Well, someday you're going to have to repay this favor.
Well, some 15-year-old girl gave him that as payment to get her out of a DUI. And now you're wearing it around your neck.
Tossed it behind
like
him.
God dang asshole.
I'm saying, if you picture the world he lives in and the people he represents, sometimes they're a little short on cash, but they got a car or some jewelry or something, and you have to take payment, and you have to make an accurate sort of assessment of what these things might be worth.
Interesting.
So he's good at that.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it. I get the part where there's an industrial application for diamonds, very good for cutting things, but the part where there's no inherent value to jewelry,
and diamonds.
So, guys who are wildly pragmatic probably hate jewelry. On the other hand, I put it under the I have it fall under the heading. This is probably not my best moment as a male in terms of the show, but I file it under a picnic. Women love it when a guy plans a picnic.
It's awesome.
Women don't have an inherent love of eating on the ground. They love the fact that the guy thought about it,
planned
it out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Probably wouldn't want to do it. He'd probably rather go to a Hooters and be alone.
Get back to the analogy.
Sorry. Instead, he did this thing that he didn't really want to do because you're special.
Yeah. Ironically, worth its weight in gold.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and buying jewelry is painful to guys because it's like, this is a waste. This doesn't have any value. Like, I'd much rather buy a riding mower or put an enclosed porch on the back. Like, you think about the things you could do with that jewel, a complete kitchen remod or whatever, versus this hoop that goes around your finger. So we're inherently against it, but go back to Kobe. It's painful to spend how many million?
Oh, God. I don't know.
How much was that ring?
Several million dollars.
Very expensive.
On something that's not going to be worth several million dollars if we ever get divorced and is essentially just not worth anything. I mean, we can't get in it and go somewhere. Like, for the price of a private jet, like a used private jet, you're going to have a hoop around your arm. Right. So that drives guys nuts. Knowing it's painful is part of the payback process.
Right.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, that's when people
sound logic.
People say this all the time, like when they go,
romantic.
Yeah.
Well, they go like when they go, this guy bought her an engagement ring. You'll hear anyone talk about it on TMZ or something. They go, how much was the thing? You know, Richard Branson's getting married. How much was the engagement ring? $20,000. $20,000. That's nothing to him.
Yeah.
It's never like that's everything to her. Mm-hmm. It's always like that's nothing to him. That doesn't hurt. That's pocket change.
Yeah.
He's not brutalized.
We're having a 2 month salary.
He's been financially destroyed.
Yeah.
He's not emotionally distraught. That's nothing to him.
Yeah.
That's the answer to everyone, right? Well, what does that mean? It's nothing to him.
That's a good point.
To try to ruin your life.
Yes,
in order
you guys.
To make me happy.
That's right. And that's how much we love you.
Right.
We're willing to ruin ourselves.
Part of our life.
There's no value. It's like a wedding. There's no real value. I'd rather use that money on a house.
I agree. Kobe, $4 million. See? Painful. Right?
That's something to him.
Could have bought a used race car for that kind of cash. Something
for
practical.
Example.
My boyfriend did give me a ring for this middle ring for my birthday. birthday. It was my 40th birthday, and he was so worried about me thinking it was going to be the other kind of ring that he held it high in the air when he handed it to me.
Instead of getting beneath you?
Not to confuse me with the blue button. Like, chest length, it's forever. In the air, you can return it.
Yeah. Right.
Good.
It was still in the bag with the receipt. Like, he's just like he almost turned his head, like, here.
Yeah.
Like, what?
No, I get it. It's all in the posture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no strong confusion whatsoever.
I like that he got you that, though. $4 million.
Jesus.
Ugh.
They say he may have dropped $15 million in Denver as well. So, a costly weekend.
I don't know what other kind of jewelry he lost inside.
Costly rehab for Kobe. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Shut your cock holster of a mouth.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Hey, can I ask you this? Who is this dude? And I'm now going to enter him. I got two dudes in the dudes I can't hang with entry. That just popped in my head. One guy from the Castrol after party who... The guy who, it's not enough you take a picture with him, you must do the thing with him. Like, do the Satan horns. Come on. And you're like,
shaka.
Yeah. My arm is around you. I'm pretending to smile and my arm is around you. Why do we have to? Come on, do the boxing thing.
Give me one of these.
Do the shaka thing. Do the boxing thing. Come on, put your hands. Like, the people, it's not enough that they come up to you and put their arm around you and take a picture, which is perfectly fine. You're going to have to work a little bit more than that, bucko. Like, I need something out of you, not just the picture.
Well, think of poor Stallone. How many times has he had to put his fist up?
Every time. It's a fist up every single time.
Girls do it to each other. Girls want to put their leg up, you know, and the girls hug you, and then they want to put their leg up so that they can show their leg in the photo.
Or at the very least, a heart shape in your hand.
That would hurt my balls. That move. Now, this dude. Who's this dude? Here's the next dude. Never thought about this. Kaylin, write this down. I've got to get to the bottom of this guy. Guy who wears wedding ring, but not wedding ring because it's on his ring finger of his right hand, but not wedding ring. You know, like he's not, he doesn't have it on the left hand. He has it on the right hand or whatever.
Right.
That dude's gay.
And then I see that guy. Sometimes he's on TV and his like hands are moving or something. And I'm like, is he married or did he just put a ring on or did the TV swap the thing around
on image?
Me? Is it a mirror image? And we could avoid this if you would avoid wearing a ring on your ring finger of your wrong hand. Right. Who is that guy? Why does he think it helps? And what is
messages,
he saying?
Yeah.
What is he saying? Yeah. What is that ring? What is why
sometimes
that?
Sometimes women wear it on the right finger when they get engaged, and you move it to the wedding finger.
I'm for anything that means something, but I don't know who this dude is, and he doesn't seem to have a lot of other jewelry on either. And so I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, what is that?
He wants to wear a ring, but he doesn't want you to get married.
I thought it was a gay thing. I thought that like lesbians, homosexuals wore
the
opposite
finger. No, that's the earring.
I don't know. I thought they wore the opposite finger.
Maybe he's just dyslexic.
You don't laugh. I thought they wore it on the opposite finger.
Brian.
Stop it.
Oh, my God.
You called someone's mouth a cock holster.
I sure did.
I have the drop. I'll play the drop all day.
Shut your cock holster of a mouth.
I understand why. You get the moral high ground.
Saying that. You're right. I just
so gracefully said as well.
All right. Kaylin.
Figure it out.
What's it say? Like, if you went on the, I guess, it's called your ring finger, I guess, on your other hand. I don't like that guy.
It's called your ring finger on both
he's
hands.
He's making me think, and especially when he's on TV. I'm like, again, I don't know if I twisted it around. Sometimes that happens.
Is that a long-term girlfriend kind of thing?
God, that's annoying.
Yeah, that would be really annoying.
I think it's just nothing, and that's why I may hate the guy more, because he's forcing this conversation.
But would you rather hang with a guy with that or with a pinky ring? Because that dude is not someone who might be a close personal friend.
The pinky ring guy is wearing way too much cologne.
That's true.
And so that's coming. That's a package deal.
That's an assault
and
on
so
the senses.
I don't want that.
Pinky ring could be like a family thing, though. Like your dad wore. Like it's just like you don't know any better. Whereas the ring finger was a choice.
Interesting.
And that's who you are as a person now.
Interesting.
And I don't like that person. Like the person that, you know, whenever you're at a game and like the big screen shows somebody and then somebody from three rows back like leans down into the video and just makes like a rock and roll sign. Like he's
right.
It's like, no. the camera didn't go to you for a reason.
Right, right.
Field reporter on the local news with the chump behind her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People I'm on TV.
You know, the funnest part, the funniest part of that person is when the person actually gets tired because the throw is too long. And yeah. then, like, at some point, like, I've committed to flapping my hands up, like, mouthing version. But now we're going into minute number three of the sports report. And the guy's like, I kind of want to finish my beer, but I've kind of committed to being a douche. Like, yeah. I remember one time I was walking through the hills of Hollywood, and there's like a whole family of deer that were on, like, somebody's lawn.
Oh.
And like I stopped and I'm like, oh my God, there's a whole family of deer. Mm-hmm. And then like someone else was like walking and they stopped and I was like, there's a family of deer. And they're like, oh my God, this is so majestic. And then like someone else stopped and they're like, they're family of deer. And we like stood there like, oh my God, don't spook them. Mm-hmm. Don't spook them. Yeah. Don't spook them. But then like 15 minutes went by and I was like, can we leave? Yeah. Like, we're fucking not going anywhere. I thought the deer were supposed to scurry
right.
off.
Yes,
we're supposed to
have
this
off.
Great it's memory. Magical. But yeah. am I allowed to walk away from a
yes,
deer congregation?
Chase a butterfly. And then
the first
run begin,
the beginning was like, shh.
Yeah. So excited.
But after 20 minutes of standing in the street, we're like, I think we need to leave.
Well, there they are.
Yeah, there they go. There they are.
Can I just tell you one more thing? My favorite thing at games is when they have to have a moment of silence and the mascot has to do it and they still have the giant smile on their face. That is my favorite thing in the whole world at a game.
That's good.
It's like, let's please bow our heads for this soldier that lost his life. And then you just see this like giant smiling
smirking bear.
I can't. What drives me nuts is when they do, like when you watch fights and I go, and now the customary 10 count, 10 rings of the bell for the legendary trainer and manager, Lou Duva. The sport has never seen a bigger name. They don't get two dings into it without someone like, just like, really, really? You couldn't just stifle yourself for 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Here was the ask. The ask is, please stifle yourself for 10 seconds so the great Lou Duva could be honored.
Yeah.
You come out with this fucking 700 decibel cough 2.5 seconds into this ordeal. Do not tell me that's on purpose. Like, I know that guy didn't cough the entire rest of
right.
the fucking prelims and the main event.
Does that seem like an impulse control problem? Like, I want to run on stage, but I can't. Like, things like that you just can't help yourself.
I don't know what that wiring is, but yeah. you'll never get through the silence without somebody hacking up a lung. And it's so weird. And also, like, put your shirt over your head, like literally yeah. bury
Attempt.
Your face in yeah. a pillow if yeah. that's your thing. You got an answer, Galen?
I got a couple answers, actually. One of them, yes, gay and lesbian marriage.
Thank you. Thank you.
Still don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Also,
thanks, homos.
Infidelity. If you wear it on your right hand, it's a signal that you are open to cheating.
That's a brazen move on national
TV. That's in plain
sight. Those are
sight.
Two completely opposite meanings.
Yeah.
There's just differences in culture in countries like Poland, Greece, India, and Colombia. It's traditionally worn on the right hand. And then the other one is just left-handedness. People don't want wear and tear on the ring finger through left hand.
That actually makes sense.
That makes sense.
If you're married, I mean, I guess if you're married and left-handed,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I'm left-handed.
That cheating thing's crazy.
Where's your ring?
Yeah.
More importantly, I like the bat signal. Since asking my lady.
The bat signal.
Wow.
Tell Matt, dust off the ring. I have a knuckle with a big calcium growth on it. My hands are deteriorating from boxing, so now I have to.
It's allergic to commitment.
Boxing.
Right.
Sure.
But you have that crazy gray ring.
I got a crazy gray ring from
one of his cars.
Gasket.
Yeah, we O-ring the head. Come on. When we did Vegas, a guy handed me the rubber ring, which I always thought was in black, but apparently they do them in gray. And I had that, and I shall redo
like the ones that football players wear, or
yeah,
like athletes.
Yeah,
just get a tattoo, dude.
Yeah,
come on,
yeah,
can't take that off.
That's
such a weird look, that tattoo ring. Yeah, it's good. It's like it's the hand version of putting racks on your SUV. Like, lets the world know you're athletic, even if you're not. Like, hey, I got to go with this ring in case I have to chuck a ball 70 yards. Like, really? Because you seem fat and lazy.
Hypothetical.
No. Yeah. You know what Aaron Rodgers has one of these. Yeah.
Hypothetical for you.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Would you rather drop a painful amount of money, whatever that is to you, say, I don't know, $250.
$40.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
A painful amount of money on a new upgraded ring for your wife or have her name tattooed around your ring finger?
Can I put the rubber ring over it?
No. No. No.
You gotta display it.
$250,000?
Yeah, whatever a painful amount would be to spend on jewelry that you think is completely unnecessary.
Every nickel is painful to me.
Wow.
I'll go with the tat over the painful amount.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's never a good look. It's always kind of weird. It's always done in sort of cursive-y, I guess, it's not blocked out.
I only have one tattoo, and it's in white, and no one can ever see it. So you could get it in white. So you could be like, oh, yeah, I'll get one.
No
loopholes. Just get it in white.
Really?
Because you need a club under a black light?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. You can see it for then, yeah.
Is there such a thing as a white tattoo?
Yeah, I have one right there.
I can't even see it.
Yeah, because it's just it's just for me. It says new shit.
It says absurd. Nice.
Yeah. You know, it's
don't do the radio.
Just for me, my own wrist with nothing on it. All right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Looking for a security system can be a pain. Simply Safe is awesome. Get exactly what you need for your home security. It's ridiculously easy to use. No hidden fees, no pricey contracts. And get it at Simply, two eyes in there, simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, let's see. Anaheim Grove, Anaheim with Rob Riggle. November 30th, we'll be doing a live pod from there. You can check out Adam Carolla Goes Racing at motortrend.com/Adam and Vero as well, V-E-R-O. Sarah is doing live dates, and she's going to be all over the place. And also the podcast, of course, Riggle's Picks. With Rob and Sarah, and also the online show, Props with Sarah Tiana and Andrew Santino. Tell them I'm a big fan when you see him next, please. That's Wednesdays at noon on Yahoo and Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. And also the live dates. And I think what you should do is go to the website, go to her website, Sarah Tiana, TIANA.com, and find out where she's going to be and doing stand-up all over the place. Good to see you, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me. Always good to see you.
So, till next time, this is Adam for RJ and Sarah and Gina and Bald. Oh, and check out Thrillers on Podcast One as well. Saying mahalo. Yeah.
I'm on TV.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him a thumbs up on Facebook and then leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Plus, subscribe to Take an E for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click the link at adamcarolla.com. So, Francis, Anaheim, Grove, live podcast with Rob Riggle. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, pantry events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com. And now, stay tuned for AP News.